forth. Dost thou believe the Scriptures to be the word of God? Then thou standest in awe of and dost much reverence them. Why? They are the word of God, the true sayings of God. They are the counsel of God. They are his promises and his threatenings. Poor souls are apt to think, if I could hear God speak to me from heaven with an audible voice, then sure I should be serious and believe it. But truly, if God should speak to thee from heaven, except thou wert converted, thou wouldst not regard, nor really believe him. But if thou dost believe the Scriptures, thou seest that they are the truth as really as if God should speak to thee from heaven through the clouds. And therefore, never flatter thyself, foolishly thinking, that if it were so and so, then thou couldst believe. I tell thee, saith Christ, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe through though one should rise from the dead. But, fifth, dost thou believe the Scriptures to be the word of God? Then, through faith in Christ, thou endeavorest to have thy life squared according to the Scriptures, both in word and practice. Nay, this I say, thou mayest have, though thou do not believe them all. My meaning is, that if thou believe none but the Ten Commandments, thy life may be, according to them, a legal, holy life. And if thou do believe the Gospel too, then thy life will be the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, either thou wilt live in the blessed and holy enjoyment of what is testified in the Scripture concerning the glorious things of the Lord Jesus Christ, or else thou wilt be exceedingly panting after them. For the Scriptures carry such a blessed beauty in them to that soul that hath faith in the things contained in them, that they do take the heart and captivate the soul of him that believeth them into the love and liking of them, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope towards God that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Acts chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. Sixth, he that believes the Scriptures to be the word of God, if he do but suppose that any one place of Scripture doth exclude him, and shut him out of, and from a share of the promises contained in them, oh, it will trouble him, grieve him, perplex him. Yea, he will not be satisfied until he be resolved, and the contrary sealed to his soul. For he knows that the Scriptures are the word of God, all truth, and therefore he knows that if any one sentence doth exclude or bar him out for want of this or the other qualification, he knows also that not the word alone shuts him out, but he that speaks it, even God himself. And therefore he cannot, will not, dare not be contented until he find his soul and Scripture together, with the things contained therein, to embrace each other, and a sweet correspondency and agreement between them. For you must know that to him that believes the Scriptures aright, the promises or threatenings are of more power to comfort or cast down than all the promises or threatenings of all the men in the world. And this was the cause why the martyrs of Jesus did so slight both the promises of their adversaries, when they would have overcome them with pro-offering the great things of this world unto them, and also to their threatenings, when they told them they would rack them, hang them, burn them. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. None of these things could prevail upon them or against them, because they did most really believe the Scriptures and the things contained in them, as is clearly found and to be seen in Hebrews 11, also in Mr. Fox's records of their brethren. Seventh, he that believeth the Scriptures to be the word of God believeth that men must be born again, and also to be partakers of that faith which is of the operation of God, according as he hath read and believed, or else he must and shall be damned. And he that believeth this aright will not be contented until, according as it is written, he do partake of and enjoy the new birth, and until he do find, through grace, that faith that is wrought by the operation of God in his soul, for this is the cause why men do satisfy themselves with so slender a conceited hope that their state is good when it is nothing so, namely, because they do not credit the Scripture, for did they would look into their own hearts and examine seriously whether that faith, that hope, that grace which they think they have be of that nature, and wrought by that spirit and power that the Scripture speaketh of. I speak this of an effectual believing, without which all other is nothing unto salvation. Number 6. Five uses by way of self-examination. Now then, because I would not be too tedious, I shall at this time lay down no more discoveries of such an one as doth savingly believe the Scriptures, and the things contained in them, but shall speak a few words of examination concerning the things already mentioned, as first use. Thou sayest thou dost indeed and in truth effectually believe the Scriptures. I ask, therefore, wast thou ever killed stark dead by the law of works contained in the Scriptures, killed by the law or letter, and made to see thy sins against it, and left in a helpless condition by that law? For as I said, the proper work of the law is to slay the soul, and to leave it dead in a helpless state. For it doth neither give the soul any comfort itself when it comes, nor doth it show the soul where comfort is to be had, and therefore it is called the ministration of condemnation, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. The ministration of death, verse 7. For though men may have a notion of the blessed word of God, as the children had, yet before they be converted, it may truly be said of them, ye err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God, Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Second use. You say you do believe the Scriptures to be the word of God. I say again, examine. Wast thou ever quickened from a dead state by the power of the Spirit of Christ through the other part of the Scripture, that is to say, by the power of God and his Son Jesus Christ, through the covenant of the promise? I tell thee from the Lord, if thou hast, thou hast felt such a quickening power in the words of Christ, John 6, that thou hast been lifted out of that dead condition that thou before wast in, and that when thou wast under the guilt of sin, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil, and the justice of the great God, thou hast been enabled by the power of God in Christ, revealed to thee by the Spirit, through and by the Scripture, to look sin, death, hell, the devil, and the law, and all the things that are at enmity with thee, with boldness and comfort in the face, through the blood, death, righteousness, resurrection, and intercession of Christ, made mention of in the Scriptures. And third use, on this account, how excellent are the Scriptures to thy soul! Oh, how much virtue dost thou see in such a promise, in such an invitation! They are so large as to say, Christ will in no wise cast me out, my crimson sin shall be as white as snow. I tell thee, friend, there are some promises that the Lord hath helped me to lay hold of Jesus Christ through and by, that I would not have out of the Bible for as much gold and silver as can lie between York and London, piled up to the stars. Because through them Christ is pleased by his Spirit to convey comfort to my soul. I say, when the law curses, when the devil tempts, when hell fire flames in my conscience, my sins with the guilt of them tearing of me, then is Christ revealed so sweetly to my poor soul through the promises that all is forced to fly and leave off to accuse my soul. So also, when the world frowns, when the enemies rage and threaten to kill me, then also the precious, the exceeding great and precious promises do weigh down all and comfort the soul against all. This is the effect of believing the Scriptures savingly, for they that do so have by and through the Scriptures good comfort, and also ground of hope, believing those things to be its own which the Scriptures hold forth. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Fourth use, examine. Dost thou stand in awe of sinning against God? because he hath in the scriptures commanded thee to abstain from it. Dost thou give diligence to make thy calling and election sure, because God commanded it in the scripture? Dost thou examine thyself whether thou be in the faith or no, having a command in scripture so to do? Or dost thou, notwithstanding what thou readest in the scripture, follow the world, delight in sin, neglect coming to Jesus Christ, speak evil of the saints, slight and make a mock at the ordinance of God, delight in wicked company and the like? Then know that it is because thou dost not indeed and in truth believe the scriptures effectually. For as I said before, if a man do believe them, and that savingly, then he stands in awe, he looks to his steps, he turns his feet from evil, and endeavors to follow that which is good, which God hath commanded in the scriptures of truth. Yet not from a legal or natural principle, that is, to seek for life by doing that good thing, but knowing that salvation is already obtained for him by the blood of that man, Christ Jesus, on the cross, because he believes the scriptures. Therefore, mark, I pray, therefore, I say he labors to walk with his God in all well-pleasing and godliness, because of the sweet power of the loves of Christ, which he feels in his soul by the Spirit, according to the scriptures, constrain him so to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Fifth use. Examine again. Dost thou labor after those qualifications that the scriptures do describe a child of God by? That is, faith, yea, the right faith, the most holy faith, the faith of the operation of God. And also, dost thou examine whether there is a real growth of grace in thy soul, as love, zeal, self-denial, and a seeking by all means to attain, if possible, to the resurrection of the dead? That is, not to satisfy thyself until thou be dissolved and rid of this body of death, and be transformed into that glory that the saints shall be in after the resurrection day. And in the meantime, dost labor and take all opportunities to walk as near as may be to the pitch, though thou know thou canst not attain it perfectly? Yet, I say, thou dost aim at it, seek after it, press towards it, and to hold it, and to hold on in thy race. Thou shunnest that which may any way hinder thee, and also closest in with what may any way further the same, knowing that that must be, or desiring that it should be, thine eternal frame, and therefore out of love and liking to it, thou dost desire and long after it, as being the thing that doth most please thy soul. Or how is it with thy soul? Art thou such an one as regards not these things, but rather busy thy thoughts about the things here below, following those things that have no scent of divine glory upon them? If so, look to thyself. Thou art an unbeliever, and so under the wrath of God, and will for certain fall into the same place of torment that thy fellows have fallen into before thee, to the grief of thy own soul and thy everlasting destruction. Consider and regard these things, and lay them to thy heart before it be too late to recover thyself, by repenting of the one, and desiring to close in with the other. Oh, I say, regard, regard, for hell is hot. God's hand is up. The law is resolved to discharge against thy soul. The judgment day is at hand. The graves are ready to fly open. The trumpet is near the sounding. The sentence will ere long be passed. Then you and I cannot call time again. Use and application. But again, seeing they are so certain, so sure, so irrevocable and firm, and seeing the saving faith of the things contained therein, is to reform the soul and bring it over into the things of God. Really conforming to the things contained therein, both to the point of justification and also an impartial walking and giving up thy soul and body to a conformity to all the commands, counsels, instructions, and exhortations contained therein. This then will learn us how to judge of those who give up themselves to walk in the imaginations of their own hearts, who slight and lay aside the scriptures, counting them but empty and uncertain things, and will live every day in open contradiction to what is contained, commanded, and forbidden therein, as, first, this will show us that all your drunkards, whoremasters, liars, thieves, swearers, backbiters, slanderers, scoffers at goodness, etc., I say, we may see by this that they that live in such things have not the faith of these things contained in their hearts, seeing they delight to practice those things that are forbidden by and in them. And so, they continuing, living and dying in this state, we may conclude without fear that these portions of Holy Scripture belong unto them, and shall for certain be fulfilled upon them. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But the abominable, the unbelieving, the whoremongers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Depart, depart from me, for I will not save you. Depart, for my blood shall not at all wash you. Depart, for you shall not set one foot into the kingdom of heaven. Depart, ye cursed. Ye are cursed of God, cursed of his law, cursed of me, cursed by the saints, and cursed by the angels, cursed all over, nothing but cursed, and therefore depart from me, and whither? Into everlasting fire, fire that will scald, scorch, burn, and flame to purpose, fire that shall never be quenched, Mark 9, fire that will last to all eternity. And must we be all alone? No, you shall have company, stores of company with you, namely, all the raging, roaring devils, together with an innumerable company of fellow damned sinners, men, women, and children. And if the scriptures be true, as they will one day wonderfully appear to be, then this must and shall be thy portion, if thou live and die in this state. And all of them who continue in sinning against the truth contained in the scriptures, as, first, dost thou delight to sin against plain command? Thou art gone. Second, dost thou slight and scorn the counsels contained in the scriptures and continue in so doing? Then thou art gone. Third, dost thou continually neglect to come to Christ and usest arguments in thine own heart to satisfy thy soul with so doing? Then thou art gone. Luke chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, compared with verse 24, and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? That is, there is no way to escape. Number one, because God hath said that we shall not. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, that was Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Number two, because he hath not only said they shall not, but also hath bound it with an oath, saying, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Hebrews 3, verse 11. To whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest? Answer, to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Verses 18 and 19. Second, this will teach us what to think and conclude of such who, though they do not so openly discover their folly by open and gross sins against the law, yet will give more heed to their own spirits and the movings thereof, though they be neither commanded nor commended for the same in Scripture. Nay, though the scripture command and commend the contrary, then they will to the holy and revealed will of God, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. I say, such men are in as bad a state as the other to the full, being disobedient to God's will revealed in his word, as well as they, though in a different manner, the one openly transgressing against the plain and well-known truths revealed in it, the other, though more close and hidden, yet secretly rejecting and slighting them, giving more heed to their own spirits and the motions thereof, although not warranted by the scriptures. A few words more, and so I shall conclude. And, first, take heed that you content not yourself with the bare notion of the scriptures in your heads, by which you may go far, even so far as to be able to dispute for the truth, to preach the gospel, and labor to vindicate it in opposition to gainsayers, and yet be found at the left hand of Christ at the judgment day, forasmuch as thou didst content thyself with a notion or traditional knowledge of them. Second, have a care that thou own the whole scripture, and not own one part and neglect another, or slight it as thus. To own the law and slight the gospel, or to think that thou must be saved by thy good doings and works, for that is all one, as if thou did thrust Christ away from thee, or else so to own the gospel, as if by it thou wert exempted from all obedience to the Ten Commandments, and conformity to the law and life and conversation. For in so doing, thou wilt for certain make sure of eternal vengeance. Third, have a care that thou put not wrong names on the things contained in the scriptures, as to call the law Christ, and Christ the law. For some, having done so, in my knowledge, have so darkened to themselves the glorious truths of the gospel, that in a very little time they have been resolved to thwart and oppose them, and so have made room in their own souls for the devil to inhabit, and obtained a place in hell for their own souls to be tormented forever and ever. Against this danger, therefore, in reading and receiving the testimony of Scripture, learn to distinguish between the law and the gospel, and to keep them clear asunder as to the salvation of thy soul. Number one, and that thou mayest do so in the first place, beg of God that he would show thee the nature of the gospel, and set it home effectually with life and power upon thy soul by faith, which is this, that God would show thee that as thou being man hast sinned against God, so Christ being God, man, hath bought thee again, and with his most precious blood set thee free from the bondage thou hast fallen into by thy sins. And that not upon condition that thou wilt do thus and thus, this and the other good work, but rather that thou, being first justified freely by mere grace through the blood of Jesus, shouldst also receive thy strength from him who hath bought thee, to walk before him in an all well-pleasing, being enabled thereto by the virtue of his Spirit, which hath revealed to thy soul that thou art delivered already from wrath to come, by the obedience not of thee, but of another man, Jesus Christ. Number two, then if the law thou readest of tell thee in thy conscience thou must do this and the other good work of the law, if ever thou wilt be saved, answer plainly that for thy part thou art resolved now not to work for life, but to believe in the virtue of that blood shed upon the cross, upon Mount Calvary, for the remission of sins. And yet because Christ hath justified thee freely by his grace, thou wilt serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of thy life, yet not in a legal spirit or in a covenant of works, but mine obedience, say thou, I will endeavor to have it free and cheerful out of the love to my Lord Jesus. Have a care thou receive not this doctrine in the notion only, lest thou bring a just damnation upon thy soul, by professing thyself to be freed by Christ's blood from the guilt of sin, while thou remainest still a servant to the filth of sin. For I must tell you, that unless you have the true and saving work of the faith and grace of the gospel in your hearts, you will either go on in a legal holiness, according to the tenor of the law, or else, through a notion of the gospel, the devil bewitching and beguiling thy understanding, will, and affections, thou wilt, ranter-like, turn the grace of God into wantonness, and bring upon thy soul double, if not triple, damnation, and that thou couldest not be contented to be, or be contented to be damned for thy sins against the law, but also to make ruin sure to thy soul, thou wouldst dishonor the gospel and turn the grace of God held forth and discovered to men by that into licentiousness. But that thou mightest be sure to escape these dangerous rocks on the right hand and on the left, see that thy faith be such as spoken of in Scripture, and that thou be not satisfied without that which is a faith wrought by the mighty operation of God, revealing Christ to and in thee, as having wholly freed thee from thy sins by his most precious blood, which faith, if thou attain unto, will so work in thy heart, that first thou wilt see the nature of the law, and secondly, also the nature of the gospel, and delight in the glory of it, and also thou wilt find an engaging of thy heart and soul to Jesus Christ, even to the giving up of thy whole man unto him, to be ruled and governed by him to his glory.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.